Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and blessings. I do thank you for the blessed fellowship we've had around your word, and even a time to eat together, dear God, and just to rejoice in your name, to rejoice in your resurrected life. And Father, the salvation that you have purchased for us, in which, God, we can so humbly, by your grace, receive simply through faith. And Father, we thank you. We praise you. Thank you for the good services this morning. Be with, I think, Brother Brian in the nursery there now this afternoon. And help fill me with your spirit, my dear wife, too, interpreting and sign. And once again, dear God, speak to our hearts from your word. Help us as we hear your word, as we grow, to go on out into our place that you have for us, should you tarry, our place in the world this coming week. And help us, dear God, to be shining lights for you, and to be looking and longing for that time when you will return. Father, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So, knowing we've had the services this morning and the big meal, it's going to be comparatively brief this afternoon. Pastor wouldn't be too wise to have a long sermon at this point, because I've already prepared it, so I don't need to preach to myself. I got preached to already by the Spirit. what a blessing. Just going to talk for a few moments, as we consider the resurrection, about this resurrection body. Just some facts about it, some things I read in the Scripture, and how wonderful it is. We're going to be changed. We're going to be raised incorruptible. Talks about that body being sown in weakness and being raised in power. Now we see that as we get older, there's a certain what's the point where they say generally you're over the hill. I mean, you're not going to get stronger now, you're going to get weaker. Anybody know what that is? Sister Lynn, about 50 is what they say it is. I know that's when they give you the black birthday candles and cake and all. I know that's when I got mine, but that's what they say. But there comes a point. It doesn't matter who you are, where your body's not going to get stronger anymore. You're going to get weaker. It's sown in weakness. It's sown in dishonor. They get weak and life gets harder to live. And that's all because of why? That original sin that come into the world. But what? But you know what? Boom. It's raised in power. Boom. It's raised in glory. And we're going to talk some about that glorious body that our Lord is going to give us. We might call it a body for believers. And we're going to be changed. We believe in the rapture and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. We know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, it talks about the rapture. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And what a wonderful thought. And it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." If we're in love with the Lord, his coming is going to be a comfort to our hearts as we think about that, as we think about our heavenly home, and a burden that we might be busy, that others might be saved as well before he returns. So he's going to give us, as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to be changed. We're going to be given a spiritual body. We have the longest discourse in the Bible on the spiritual body right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul begins that back as early as verse 35. He talks about this new body. Some will say, "How are the dead raised? With what body do they come?" And so he talks about that. And he says, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except die. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, may chance of wheat or of some other grain." What's he saying? It's different. When you sow a wheat seed, you don't get a wheat seed. You get a wheat stalk. When you sow, a corn seed, you don't get the seed. You get the stalk. It's different. What comes up? Well, what's it going to be like? Well, it's not going to be exactly like this. This is what's sown. By the law of reaping and sowing and reaping, we know that what comes up is different than what you put in the ground. And so it's going to be different in some ways. We'll see that. And Paul goes on to say, verse 39, "All flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of birds." Picture that, looking over a bird. Now, we would say, okay, well, man and a bird, that's they're both flesh and blood. Yeah, but what? The flesh is different, isn't it? Even things that are similar, there's some difference there. And Paul's saying this body's going to be different in some ways just by what creation teaches us. He goes on, he says, that's how the resurrection's different. Verse 42, "It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." He says in verse 44, "Is it sown a natural body? It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We're going to get a spiritual body. You know, the Bible says that God is the Spirit. And Jesus, we'll see at one point here, says, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." You say, so if we're going to be raised... again, preacher, is it going to be a body? It's going to be a spirit, not just a spirit. We're not just going to be raised a spirit. We're going to be given a what? Spiritual body. A spiritual body. Now, that'll be different from our fleshly body. And we'll see some ways that'll be different. Paul goes on to explain that. He says, "The first man is of the earth," verse 47, that's like Adam, earthy. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." That's like the Lord Jesus with his glorified body. He says, verse 49, 1 Corinthians 15, "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Aren't you glad you're going to bear the image of the heavenly? Amen. "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." What's he saying there? Our body works on a flesh and blood principle. We read in the scripture that the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you drained my blood out of my body, how would I be feeling at that moment? Well, probably nothing. I'd be dead, okay? Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. It takes oxygen to all parts of the body, and it's needed for this life system This vessel that I'm in operates that way. Your car doesn't run without gas. You'll save money, but you won't go anywhere, okay? You'll save even more money because you can't go to the store, all right? But it needs blood. Your body needs blood to live. And so Paul writes verse 51, I show you a mystery, we're going to be changed. By the way, when he shows you a mystery, this is only one of the proofs of the rapture. There are some groups out there now teaching that there is no pre-tribulation rapture. There's some groups out there teaching that the coming of the Lord is just all happening at the end of the age. It's all just one big judgment. And well, this is one of those texts against that. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period is not a mystery. That was clearly taught in the Old Testament, that he's coming again. That's not a mystery. In the Bible is something hidden in the Old Testament, now revealed. So that second coming of Christ was clearly taught all throughout the Old Testament, that he would come again and he would reign on the earth, and that there'd be a resurrection. Job knew about that. We'll see that. That was clearly taught. That was not a mystery. Whatever Paul wrote about here, and we believe it's the rapture, it was a mystery. It was hidden. And we see that. And so it's going to be a spiritual body, but it's not going to be like a flesh and blood body that works on those principles. In Philippians, Paul writes, Philippians 3:21, he shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's going to be wonderful. Well, we can consider just for a moment, what was his glorious body like? Thankfully, he walked around on the earth for a month, a little over a month in a glorified body. So we have some hints about what that's like. In Luke 24:39, when he appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, he said to them that they were fearful. They thought it was a spirit. Notice, not a spiritual body. They thought it was a spirit. And Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and what? Bones, as you see me have. He had flesh and bones. He had flesh and bones. By the way, 8 days later, when he appeared to Thomas, what did he say? Stick your hand in my side and feel the print in my hand. And by the way, when he appeared to them, there in that room there, the Bible says he appeared, the doors being shut. They were locked. So in a body that had flesh and bones, he can come into your room with your locked room without opening the door. You say, well, how's that, preacher? You tell me. All I know is he could appear in a room where it was shut up for fear of the Jews. They were locked in there. They thought they might be next. For the crucifixion schedule, and they were locked in there, and he appeared, and then he said, "Handle me." That's what. Can you imagine? That's a spiritual body. It's something beyond the realm that we know of, obviously, and experience here. The new body will be a spiritual body, flesh and bones, somehow different from this earthly body. Won't have any blood, apparently. Jesus, what? They spilled it all at the cross, didn't they? And so that life, Christ is our life. In that new spiritual body, that principle will be changed. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. But what? Our life is connected to him. He's our life. And so that'll be a different principle. Another principle about it. The new body will be made, I think, from our dust. Whatever that is. It'll be made from our dust. In Genesis, Job writes, God reminds us at the fall, he says to Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou made, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So whatever this body goes to, God's just calling it dust. And so we return to dust. Now, Job, in all his trials, said this in Job 19:26. Although after the skin worms destroy this body,
and what will become eventually, according to God, dust, however you want to describe that. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And there was a resurrection when Jesus Christ gave up the ghost at the cross. We read about that in Matthew 27:52. The graves were opened. And why would that be? Well, because God said he's going to use the dust. Graves were open. He says, many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and he came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So what happened? They came out of the grave. What was left in the graves, folks? Dust. So for some reason, God has chosen to take what he made us of, and when this my very body goes to the grave and turns to dust, he's going to take my dust. You say, well, what about the sea? The sea shall give up the dead that are in them. Death and hell shall give up the dead that are in them. The fish that ate you will give up your dust that's in their belly. However you want to describe it, wherever you go when you're gone is coming back, okay? And God's going to take that and make a new body. Just like he's going to take this heaven and earth. The Bible says the earth abideth ever. He's not going to annihilate it. He's going to melt it down. He's going to make the new heaven and new earth out of this one. This abides forever, but God's going to melt it down and make a new one with it. And that's what he's going to do with your dust and my dust. He's going to let it go back to the ground, because we've all sinned. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. He says, but I'm going to take that same dust. Aren't you glad there's something familiar? There's an attachment. It's going to be your dust that God makes you out of and makes your body out of, and me. So that's an interesting thing. And we'll be raised incorruptible. We'll be able to enjoy eating and drinking. Isn't that interesting, just like we had? Jesus said, we're gonna enjoy that. He's talking about giving the parable about the Lord going in a far country and returning. And Luke 12:37, blessed are the servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. That's an amazing thing, that we're going to be, in a sense, served by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26:29, Jesus said this, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine unto the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So our holy God decided to put on a body and die for our sins on the cross and rise again. And then at that Last Supper, he put himself a body in a body that enjoys eating. And then he said to you and I, those believers, and to us through them, his love for us, here's what I'm going to do. I enjoy eating, drinking. I'm not going to drink any more of that wine, any more of that grape juice, until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. I could enjoy it in heaven. I have the right to do that. But I'm going to save that, because the time that I meet you is going to be a special time. And I'm not going to drink of it until we're together. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Him doing that for us, showing his love for us. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. Eating together. We'll have perhaps a unique name. Or perhaps in Revelation 2:17, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, that's anybody who's saved by grace through faith, will I give to eat of a hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A new name written, and nobody knows it but you. We think about God, we think about praying, and we think, we think about how personal it is to pray. We think, yeah, when we get to heaven,
Now we're all just there in a group, you know. I'm going to miss that quiet time I have with God.
He's going to be able to be just as personal with you and me as he's getting now.
You see, what we forget is, while we're in our prayer closet, he's still taking care of everybody else. we just forget that, see? But we're going to be able to experience that closeness.
He says, you're getting a name. Only you and I know.
Only you and I. And that could have reference to that assurance of salvation. He says, him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Right here is that manna. It's the word of God, how it works in your heart. Give him a white stone. That has the idea of being justified. The white stone. The Urim and the Thummim, and the white stone meant that one was justified. Give him a white stone. In the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. Who knows truly 100% whether you're saved or not? Just you. Just you and God. Just me and God. So that could have reference to salvation itself right there. But that closeness that still continues. And so we have this new body that it seems to me, remember Jesus appeared several places there. He rode to Emmaus. The lady's coming back from the tomb. Then in that we may be able to be transported like that through that. We could still eat as we want. We have fellowship with God. And then finally in Psalm 16:11, the psalmist writes this. Well, let me just, Revelation 21:4, the glories of heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine that? It's wonderful to think about, isn't it? It's wonderful to look forward to. And the psalmist in Psalm 16:11 said this, Thou wouldst show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Can you imagine not being able to have any more joy? I mean, your cup runneth over. We're just full. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Can you imagine the old nature being gone? Never thought that we meditate upon that would make our Savior weep. Never that temptation to do an evil that would break one of his commandments. In thought or deed, can you imagine that being gone? Just being gone forever. Perfect fellowship. Pleasures forevermore, fullness of joy. It's amazing the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Amen. And it's going to be a wonderful time. And we meditate upon all those things. It's all the more reason for us to do like those ladies did in the message this morning, to run with fear and joy, rejoicing, and do what he's called us to do now. And maybe when he comes back, wouldn't you like to be caught handing somebody a tract when Jesus returns? Or maybe reading our Bible and praying for some understanding. Repenting of something that was wrong in our lives, you know, and just doing what was right, being on the road in our Christian life where God wants us to be when he returns. And that's what God has and wants for us all. And so we look forward to that new body, and it's going to be like his, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. That new body, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap for joy. We'll have no limitations. God, we'll worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, it's going to be a glorious time. There's so much more about heaven that you've given us that we've just touched a little bit about that body tonight. And God, we thank you, we praise you for your resurrection, because we know because you have risen again, we also will rise again.
Father, we know that you are at the right hand. Lord, we know you're at the right hand of the Father because we have your Spirit. And if you had not made it there, you wouldn't have sent him, wouldn't have been able to send him. But every one of us who's born again has that added assurance that you are there as our intercessor because you put your Spirit in our heart. And you said that you would send him unto us once you got to the throne. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your resurrection. Help us to listen to your Spirit, to be transformed more into your image while from glory to glory, even as we sang, while we wait for your return. We praise your name. We thank you for the salvation you've given to us in Christ Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.